कर्मणैव हि संसिद्धिम् आस्तिता जनकादयः लोकसंग्रहमेवापि संपश्यन् कर्तुम् अर्हसि. भगवद्गीता 3.20. कर्मणैव हि संसिद्धिम्. बाय कर्म वन कैन अटेन संसिद्धि, परफेक्शन. कर्मणैव हि संसिद्धिम् आस्तिता जनकादयः. जनक एंड अदर्स हैव अटेन्ड लाइक दिस. लोकसंग्रहमेवापि. लोकसंग्रह मीन्स फॉर सेटिंग द एग्जांपल फॉर अदर्स, फॉर द वेलफेयर ऑफ अदर्स. संपश्यन् कर्तुम् अर्हसि. संपश्यन् दैट दिस इज व्हाट यू शुड डू. कर्तुम् अर्हसि, प्लीज डू दिस. सो व्हाट एग्जैक्टली इज कृष्णा टेलिंग ओवर हियर? That it behooves you to do this. So the consistent message of Krishna has been that you should practice Karma Yoga, Arjuna. And he is saying that normally the conventional idea for attaining perfection was that one should renounce the world, go to the forest, and thereby attain perfection by renouncing the world and situating oneself in action and thereby freeing oneself from karmic bondage. But Krishna is telling Arjuna that is not the only way. There are examples of people who by doing their prescribed duties have attained perfection. So Janaka Adayaha. So he gives the example of Janaka. Adayaha is others. So now Janaka was the ruler of Mithila, the kingdom where Mother Sita appeared. So what is being said in this verse is that actually this great person, Janaka Maharaj, he attained liberation just by doing his duty. So Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim. Now what does it mean? If we take karma here to refer only to material duties, now material duties don't lead to spiritual perfection. Samsiddhi, what is the perfection that is being talked about? It's not material perfection, it's spiritual perfection. It's liberation. So we do have to do our material duties well, but material duties don't lead to spiritual liberation. So the word karma, its ambit has to be expanded so that we understand what is happening. When Krishna is using the word karma, he is using it not in the sense of karmakanda for fruitive action, but he is using it in the sense of karma yoga, detached action. But the principle is he did act. It was not that he renounced action. Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astita janakadayaha. Krishna assures that there are examples of success on this path. You know, when we want to take up any product, you know, we want to do any particular course, we want to know, has anyone else been successful in doing this? Has this worked out for them? And when we find that, oh, it has worked out for others, then we feel inspired. Oh, maybe it will work for me also. Let me try it out. So in general, we want to see the track record of things before we decide whether we'll do a particular thing or not. So here that track record is being explained, is being illustrated, is being exemplified through Janaka Maharaj. So now, in general, this is a very important principle that Krishna is telling, that when we want to advocate anything, we want to promote anything, the best testimony comes through living examples. Now, if you see in today's ad world, there are endorsements that are commercially bought. So, say a particular brand of clothes, a particular particular mobile, or whatever. There are famous people who endorse those things, and when they endorse those things, then others purchase them and others enjoy them. Others think that, oh, this is a glamorized product, I will take this. These sort of these advertisements are also using the same principle of actually showing by of tapping the power of example. That is abstract, and the principles in general are abstract. Examples are concrete, and in every field, to attain mastery, one needs to internalize certain principles. But those principles in themselves are often difficult to communicate and difficult to grasp. So when they are conveyed through examples, then those principles become easier to be transmitted and received. So for example, if for a particular thing, say if a sports team is playing in a particular place, say India is playing in Australia, and the Indian batsmen are not able to bat properly over there, getting out quickly, then some experienced cricket commentator may say that, oh, they should bat like so-and-so batsman in the past. The way he was batting, he would play this kind of balls, he would leave these kind of balls, he would focus on these kind of shots, he would avoid those kind of shots, whatever. So the point is that cricket may itself seem like a frivolous example, but it is an example which many people can relate with. The point here is that actually the principle is one should play bat safely. If that is the principle, then what does safe batting mean? That has to be explained. And that is explained through examples. Or for that matter, if somebody says that one should deal with conflicts by minimizing violence. So now for that, when we say minimizing violence, somebody may give the example Mahatma Gandhi. So Martin Luther King was also inspired by that example. So the point again is what? When we talk about minimizing violence or cultivating non-violence, there has to be example for that. And that example conveys things. So similarly, Krishna now is going to give several examples. So he has told that the work with detachment is what is desirable, and karmanai vahi samsiddhim astita janaka adayaha janaka, he also attained perfection. Now if you look at the life of Janaka Maharaj, he is not the central character in the Ramayana. In fact, he practically in Valmiki's Ramayana, he doesn't reappear after the initial khandas when Sita gets married. So in some later retellings of the Ramayana, Janak Maharaja is also there in the forest in Chitrakoot when Bharat comes to plead with Ram to come back. But we don't get much knowledge about Janak Maharaj from the Ramayana, neither about Janak Maharaj, the father of Sita, or about others who are also sometimes known as Janaka. So the word Janaka can also be a generic describer. It can be a title for the kings of a particular dynasty. But whichever way, we don't get much information about Janaka Maharaj. So what exactly made him so remarkable that Krishna chose to quote him by name in the Bhagavad Gita? There are many aspects to that. So in the Puranic lore, there is a story of Janak Maharaj, of how he was responsible in his kingly responsibilities. At the same time, he was also committed in his devotional responsibilities, how he managed that material spiritual balance. So it's described that when the glories of the Lord would be heard, when Krishna Katha would be heard, every day he would come to hear, and the Kathakar would wait for the king to come. Now some of the Brahmins and others who were there, they felt, no, why should the Lord's Katha wait for some king? The king should come on time. But the king would often be late, and then after the king would come, the Katha would start. And one day, while the Katha was going on, suddenly a fire broke out near the king's palace. Now the king's palace was at the center, and at the center also were the Brahmin's quarters. So when they heard that, oh, fire has broken out near their houses. All the Brahmins just leapt up from the katha and ran away. And the king heard it. When the king got the news, he told the ministers what to do. Go and take care of this, do this, do this, do the needful. And he turned back and continued hearing. So later on, the sages understood that this was the detachment of Janak Maharaj. When he had to do his worldly duties, he did his worldly duties. So sometimes if the work required, he got a little late in coming. But once he came for his spiritual duties, he focused on his spiritual duties. That was hearing Krishna Katha. And he left things, he did the needful, and then he focused on his Krishna Katha. So this was an example of a balanced and focused approach to his various duties. And thus by doing his worldly duties in a spirit of detachment and devotion, he attained perfection. And similarly, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you too, Arjuna, can attain perfection if you act in a similar way. Thank you.